And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For the true and righteous are his judgments. For he has judged the great whore which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again they said, Alleluia, and her smoke rose up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the four beasts fell down and worshiped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Alleluia. And a voice came out of the throne saying, Praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice, and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he saith unto me, Write, blessed are they that are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God. Praise be unto God for the reading of his precious and his eternal word. If you haven't discovered it by now, you'll discover that I've been preaching for the last little bit from the Revelation and been preaching eschatology, if you want to be theological about it. Been teaching about the things that shall come hereafter, the things that are going to come, and so that we be informed of what's happening. If you'll remember, three Sundays ago, we talked about the four horsemen of the apocalypse, and we heard their hoofbeats beating across the earth. And as we looked out, we see all the destruction and terrible things that are happening and coming on the earth. And then we talked about the things that will happen hereafter. We came down to talk about when all those four horsemen are going and all those things are going, in the midst of all of that, there's rising up a superpower, a little horn that rose up, as Daniel called it. And if you compare Daniel, you compare the Revelation, you understand, my friend, that there's a terrible beast, and that's what the Bible calls it, a carnivore who stamps, who is angry, who tears, who rends. All of the nations of the world are called beasts in the book of Daniel because they have claws on their feet and on their hands. Some have wings, some don't. Some have heads, four heads, four faces on one head. Terrible creatures that are around the throne of God, and terrible creatures that are coming on the earth and rising up among the people. Ultimately, we come down to the last chapters of the Revelation. Please do not put an S on the end of it. And it is not the revelation of St. John the Divine. Many of the old Bibles will say it's the revelation of St. John the Divine. My friend, those are not the inspired Word of God. The inspired Word of God says the revelation of Jesus Christ, which was given to John. That's who's being revealed in the end in this book. The revelation, my friend, is the Son of God is going to be revealed from heaven. The clouds are going to roll back, and the Lord Jesus is going to step out on the clouds and walk down across the Milky Way into the earth and set up the kingdom of God. That's where we're going. Well, when we get to the 18th and 19th chapters of the Revelation, we're starting to wind things up. And it's amazing the contrasts that are in this. Now, if you think, even for one moment, even for one second, that God's not paying attention, shake it off, sister and brother. God knows what's going on in this planet. And I have to tell you something. it's my opinion, but I think I can prove it from the scripture. I think the attention, the greatest attention getter in all of the universe is the planet you're living on. I think that the whole universe is more interested in you people sitting right here than any angel, any seraphim, anyone, any place in the universe. That great new telescope that I'm so interested in that they launched and is going out in space is taking pictures that are spectacular all over space, universe, planets, galaxies, things you just can't imagine are all out there just for the seeing. You say, well, that must be something else. I want to tell you something. All of that is the creation of God. All of it. I don't understand it all, but it's all the creation of God. But I want to tell you, the interest and the attention of the universe is on this planet. Why this planet? Why did God choose this planet? You'll have to ask him about that when you get to heaven. You'll have to ask him about that sometime. He hasn't told us. But everything he has done and is doing is for his honor and his glory. Now, God has brought down, and God in his infinite wisdom has given man freedom of choice, and men have chose darkness rather than light. Men have chose evil rather than good. Men have chosen to fight against God and to fight against his anointed. Brothers and sisters, look at this scripture. There's a word that appears here that doesn't appear anywhere else in the New Testament. You know what that is? Hallelujah. Anglicized, it becomes hallelujah. And it means praise God. That's simply what it means. Praise God. Well, we come into the 19th chapter of the book of the Revelation, and we find all of heaven has broke loose. Well, around here, people say all hell broke loose. Well, it has. It has. You say here and now, no, but it's going to. In the first contrast you see are two groups of people. One group of people is praising God and saying hallelujah, and one group of people are wailing, throwing dust on their heads, beating their chest, and crying around and hollering what terrible thing it is, what awful time it is, what's happening. And the people that are shouting and the people that are wailing and shouting over the same thing. Just depends on their perspective of it and where they're at. I want you to know that earth is not doing anything that heaven doesn't know all about. And heaven has power to take care of what's going on this planet. God is producing in this planet a person called the Bride of Christ. God is not going to inhabit this universe without someone to inhabit it with. Now, he has created how many angels? You don't know. You know how I know you don't know? Because nobody knows. We don't know how many thousands, hundreds of thousands maybe, of angels that he's created that are traveling across the universe. And they don't have to have a space suit, and they don't have to have a space capsule. They don't have to have a rocket ship. By the power of God, angelic beings are traversing this universe. Wonderful things are going on. And God is accomplishing and will accomplish his will. But as we look at the earth, this has become the battleground of all the universe. The great battle between Lucifer, that is the devil, who rebelled against God and convinced a third of the angels, ever how many that is, convinced a third of the angels to join him in rebellion against God. And there is a great war going on, and you're caught in the middle of it. You can't get out of it. That's one of the things that you can't get out of. That's one of the things you don't have control of. This terrible war is going on between God and the devil. Satan with all his imps that have come up against God, and some of them must be worse than others, because I read in the Revelation that some of these folks, these angels that are fallen, have been confined to an abyss, to the bottomless pit, and they've been held there. I don't know for how long. For longer than we've been on the earth, they've been held there. But in the last days, an angel is coming from heaven and unlock the chains that hold them shut, and the earth is going to be filled with demon spirits rebelled against God, who will come out of the abyss, come out of the darkness, and who will torment not the grass. It says don't touch the grass, not the trees, not the leaves, not the plant life, but don't but do what? Torment men. Demons and demon activity, my friend, will increase, if it's not already, will increase in its frequency and in its power toward the end. So what do we see in the 19th chapter of the Revelation? I'll tell you what we see. We see, first of all, the earth, the kingdoms of this world, the kings of this world, the powers of this world, the nations of this world. We see them, and we see them sad. They're wailing. They're beating their chests. They're tearing their clothes. They're throwing dust in the air, and they're wailing. And what are they wailing for? Because their city, Babylon, their city that's against God, all the way from ancient Nimrod, back in the patriarchal times right up to now, all of the nations that have raised up against God, all of the kingdoms that have raised up against God, all of the peoples that have marched, great empires, the Babylonian Empire, the Greco-Roman Empire, all of the great nations and civilizations and things that have raised up against the living God and come out against him. My brothers and sisters, those people are wailing. Why are they wailing? Because an angel has just come from the throne of God and began to proclaim all over the whole earth, Babylon the Great is fallen, is fallen. It's become the habitation of every foul and unclean birds. In other words, it's full of buzzards and crows. It's become the habitation of every foul and unclean thing. And my brothers and sisters, we look at the kings of this world and the kingdoms of this world, and we look back at Daniel and we look at the Revelation, and we discover that there's going to be a collapse. Now, you may not like it because you want to keep your wonderful American standard of living. I don't know just how it's going to turn out or which way it's going to turn, but I know how it's going to end. In the end, the kingdoms of this world and the people that run those kingdoms that are against God and have joined themselves to false religion and all of those things, my friend, it's coming down. Daniel saw it as a great image, and a stone hewed out of the mountains without hand came rolling down the hill and crashed into the feet of the great image and destroyed all of it. It all was coming down. And brothers and sisters, I tell you on the authority of God's word, not on my opinion, not on what I want to say, but what I have to say from God's word is, my friend, Jesus Christ, the stone hewed out of the mountains, is coming, my friend, and when he comes, he's coming with power, he's coming with glory, and he's going to destroy the kingdoms of this world. Mr. Putin will not have a chance in the presence of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Mr. Biden will not have a chance. The United Nations will be powerless, no matter what armies have marched, and great armies will march. The Revelation sees an army of over 200,000 men marching from the east across the dried up Euphrates River and toward Israel. We see nations to the north of Israel in what we now call Russia. We see those nations coming down, and all the nations are gathering against Jerusalem. The Bible said when you see this thing happen, know that the end is near. When you see this thing happen, know that the end is near. And brothers and sisters, the marching has begun. The gathering of nations has begun. And they're gathering against the Lord. They're gathering against God and His Christ. They're gathering against all that's righteousness and good. And they're thinking to change the times and the seasons and everything that goes on. You say, and how does the world react to that? They don't want to lose it. They've become rich by trading in all of the great spices and assets of the world. They have become rich by trading the souls of men. Read that. They trade and buy and sell the souls of men. They become rich doing that. And they don't want to lose it. They don't want it to come down. But they're going to stand and watch as the kingdoms of this world collapse, as the fire falls from heaven and the brimstone. They're going to see that. And they're going to wail. They're going to cry because of it. And you say, that would be an awful thing to look at. A whole planet burning, a whole planet dissolving, people suffering and going through what it will be. But you know what? Babylon the Great has fallen. That great whore that did all this and tells all that's going to happen. You know what happens in heaven? They break loose and shouting. They start hollering, hallelujah. It's the only book in the New Testament that has the word hallelujah in it, is the revelation. And they break loose saying, hallelujah, glory, praise and honor to Him that's worthy, to Him that sits on the throne. And the heavenly host, you say, who is it? Well, ever how many angels that are there, they're all praising God. Ever how many angels that are there, they're giving Him praise and glory. Now let me tell you, the angels, it's amazing what they've seen. You see, angels do not have the privilege that you have. They will never become the sons of God that you are. They will never become the bride of Christ. They are created beings, and they are as God created them to do His will and His work. But they've seen God. They've seen Him face to face. They've seen Him sitting on the throne in the brightness of His glory. They've seen the Shekinah fire burning around the throne and the rainbow going all the way around the throne. The whole circle of the rainbow is visible in heaven. They've seen the very glory of God manifested throughout the universe. And at the same time they've seen that, the angels have had to stand by with their wings folded. Michael has had to stand by with his sword. Michael's the great general that runs the host of God. When Michael comes out, my friend, somebody's going to get whooped. When Michael comes out, somebody's going to get caught. Somebody's going to go down. So Michael's coming out with his sword. All of the host of heaven have been standing, folded. It must have been so hard for the angels to watch. And they must have gasped when they saw the Lord Jesus Christ leave the throne of glory and come into the womb of the Virgin Mary. That must have dumbfounded all of heaven. It must have dumbfounded everybody when they saw the greatness of God in sending His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, down to this earth. I know Mary was a virgin. I don't want to take anything from her. Mary was a virgin. Mary was a good person. She had to be good for God to choose her. But let me tell you something, my friend. God Almighty was majestic in sending His Son to a human body. No matter how good Mary was, the truth is, my friend, she was a sinner. She was a human being that needed saving. You say, oh, Mary didn't need saving. Yes, she did. She needed to be there on the day of Pentecost and filled with the Holy Ghost just exactly like everybody else was. There were times after seeing the shepherds and the wise men and all that, there were times that Mary doubted. She and his brothers and sisters stood outside when Jesus was preaching and didn't even go in, ask Him to come out because they thought He was beside Himself. And you say, what does that mean? Well, it means He was here and His brain was over there. You've met some folks like that, haven't you? That are beside themselves. Their body's here, but their brain's over there. That's what they accused Jesus of not being right up here. They accused him of being in bad shape. They treated him bad. How hard that must have been for the angels to watch. How they must have cringed when the very divine Son of God, who is God in the flesh, my friend, when they whooped him up the hill, as we used to sing, when they beat him with a rod, when they beat him with a whip, when they spit upon his face, when they pulled his beard from his skin, when they put crown of thorns on his head, when they drove nails through his hands and his feet, and when he hung up there naked between heaven and earth, dying and in disgrace and shame, my friend, and hanging on that cross, how that must have turned the angels' heads, because they could not believe. This, they know this better than any theologian, better than any person on earth. Those angels have seen the very glory of God. They have seen the very majesty of God. And my friend, as they look down to the earth, finally, judgment is coming. Justice is coming. These old beasts have been running over this earth. Human beings have been going the wrong way all this time. But now as they look down, there is a word from heaven that says, Babylon the Great is fallen. And they begin to rejoice. Finally, the judgment of God has come. Finally, we're going to destroy this devil. We're going to destroy his kingdom. We're going to destroy his followers. We're going to set this planet free. And God himself is coming down from heaven. And this is going to become, my friend, the capital of the universe. This is going to be where God's throne is. This is going to be where God's moving at. And my friend, as they look at it from heaven, the people on the earth are wailing because it's coming down and falling to pieces. But all of heaven has broke loose. All of heaven is shouting hallelujah and glory and praise because the Lamb has come. And what a wonderful, marvelous thing this is that's come. And then, my friend, the second contrast we see in this is the kings of the earth versus the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. My friend, the kings of the earth have wore their grandeur. They've put on their jewels. I watch sometimes some of the monarchs in Europe, particularly in the British Commonwealth. I watch as they ride their gold trimmed carriages, as they wear all the emblems of their life. I watch as men all over the world and every kind of a civilization that we have, brothers and sisters, I watch as they set up their kings. Some kings have took it to themselves to call themselves Lord, to call themselves God, to put themselves forward as something. They've watched. The angels have watched and everybody's watched. And my friend, there they are. There they are, all the kings of the earth. And ultimately, the kings of the earth get together. Do you ever notice how the devil's crowd can get together if it's against the good, against God? This is what happens. The devil's crowd from all over the world gathering in the northern end of Israel at a place called Harmageddon. Here they come, my friend. From the east comes the Chinese. From the north comes the Russian. From the south comes the Ethiopian. And from the seas come the other. And they gather against the Lord. They gather against him, my friend, and they parade themselves. How strong we are. How great we are, how marvelous we are, and what all we've done. And men have done unthinkable things. Men have done things that are so great and so mighty, you can hardly imagine what they've done. But my friend, let me tell you something. When the clouds roll back, go ahead and read the rest of chapter 19. When the clouds roll back, my friend, and the light shines from glory, and heaven is opened. And when John sees heaven open, he sees all these vast armies of all the ages gathered against the Lord Jesus Christ. And my friend, he looks up and sees heaven open and the clouds roll back and the glory roll out. And here he comes. He's on a white horse. His vesture's dipped in blood and his name is called the Word of God. He has a sword and he has weapons of warfare. And he rides across the universe, my friend, and comes down to Armageddon. My friend, this is not the second coming when he lands on Mount of Olives and redeems the people of the Lord. This is when he comes to fight against the beast, against the Antichrist, against the false prophet, against the harlot church, my friend. Here he comes, and my friend, in one fell swoop, he destroys all the armies of the enemy. You say, what's going to happen exactly? I don't know, but I know how it's going to end. In the end, my friend, the Lord Jesus Christ will be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And the kings of this world will be thrown off of their throne and down to the earth. And my friend, the next contrast we see is the contrast of the women. Did you notice there are two women in this chapter? One of them's a harlot. One of them has been selling herself for the favors of men. One of them has been compromising her decency and her goodness and her righteousness for the immorality and ungodliness of men. There is, my friend, I'm sorry to say, let's not pick on the people down in some aboriginal place in Australia or Africa or someplace. Let's look at the United States. Let's look at what we call the civilized people of the world. And my friend, as we look at those people of the world, we realize that their religion, they have compromised it with the kings of this world. Compromised so that they may gain power and they may gain wealth. They have prostituted themselves to the kings of this earth. And the kings of this earth have derived their power from Satan himself. The scripture says so, that Satan gives them power. And the kings and the kingdoms of this world have made immoral access to the church of God. And men have turned against the truth. Men have turned against what's really from God and gone their own way. And they have become a harlot religion, a harlot foundation they have. And they ride the scarlet colored beast, which is really a dragon. They ride upon that dragon, that serpent. And throughout history, we see the trail of the serpent as he crawls out of the Garden of Eden and up through the pages of history. And my friend, in those times that we see that happening, you say, well, who's the contrast? And they looked, and you know why they're rejoicing? First of all, they're rejoicing because the harlot church is coming down. Because she's going to be stripped of all of her gaudiness and all of the trappings of the world. And who's going to replace her? What are we looking for? And John keeps looking, and what does he see? He sees the bride of Christ. My friend, that's where we've been going all along. God is creating out of human beings. Oh, it takes all of the human beings from Adam down to the last little baby that's born. All of us together. You know, no one has ever actually seen the bride of Christ, including Christ. Well, no, the groom doesn't see the bride before she's taken. You say, well, why haven't we seen the bride of Christ? Because she's not finished yet. She's making herself ready. She's making herself appropriate for the wedding. What kind of a bride would go to the wedding? And we can't count America in it. 22nd years that we're going on because people get married and every kind of get up there is in America. But I have to tell you something, my friend. The bride of Christ has made herself ready. You say, what kind of jewelry does she have? None. What kind of shoes is she wearing? None. What kind of a headdress is she wearing? None. You say, what's she wearing? She's wearing a simple robe of white, made of fine linen. And you know what? She's wearing that because that is the righteousness of the saints. You know what the bride's cloak is? It's the good things she does. It's the good way she lives. It's the good way that she's there. So we have a harlot in this chapter. And they're rejoicing because she's been thrown off the beast and the beast has been destroyed. But we have a bride, a pure and unspotted bride who wears fine linen and whose life is unspoiled. And what are we waiting for? Why are they jumping around? Why are they so happy? Well, I'll tell you, friends. They're wailing on earth because the kingdoms of this earth have collapsed. They've lost their money bag. They've lost their living. They don't know which way to go. What's happening in heaven? They're rejoicing. Why? Because the bride is ready. The bride has prepared. Hallelujah. Jesus told stories about that. Remember about the virgin? He said, blessed are they who have been invited to the marriage of the Lamb. My friend, there's going to be a wedding. There's going to be a burial, and that's to bury the ashes of the kingdoms of this world. But there's going to be a wedding, and that's that the bride of Christ, praise God, the virgin bride of Christ. Paul said to the church, I have espoused you, in other words, you're engaged, a chaste virgin. My brothers and sisters, that's what we've been waiting on. Who's going to share the throne with the Lord Jesus Christ? Who's going to be there with him throughout the ages to come? Oh, I remember Sister Nestor walking up and down the aisle down here at this old church singing, I'll be there with Jesus while the ages roll on. Oh, my brothers and sisters, today the wailing on this earth is going to get louder and louder. But when it begins to wail on this earth, my friend, that means that heaven has looked down and heaven has seen the bride of Christ. Oh, what a day that will be when the last person saved is in and the bride is ready. And they look down from glory and here comes the bride. Oh, my friend, in their white robes, walking up Zion's hill, coming to bow before their groom and our Heavenly Father. Oh, my friends, if you can just see that picture, if you can just see that glory, and you know what? Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father Almighty. Hallelujah. My friend, He's coming. He's coming. Don't get caught on the wrong side. Don't get caught with the crowd that's wailing. But my friend, get with the crowd that's shouting. Get with the crowd that has perfected the bride of Christ and join in praise. Join in honor and glory, for he has received the power of God. Oh, hallelujah. My friend, I don't know about you, but it just thrills me to death to read all this. It just brings joy to my heart. I sit down, I've read these old scriptures, oh, my friends, so long. I was 14 when I got saved, and I had, for at least a year before I was surrendered to Christ, I had read the book of the Revelation. I had read the book of Daniel, and I had read Matthew 24 and Luke 21 and all those scriptures. And I could see that somewhere down the road, there's going to be an end to all of this. And somewhere down the road,